Hello and welcome to another edition of the Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. This is the show of the updates. As Windows updated, then Creative Cloud updated, then Audition updated. And we're going to update you on nothing, really. This is more a review show, as the Maryland Black Bears were off this weekend. They will pick up against the New Jersey Titans on Friday night. And then this is it, the last two weekends for the Maryland Black Bears. See if they can play the role of spoiler in any way, shape, or form. And we will have a full report on that next week. Also, happy Maryland Day to you and yours. As I tape this, it is Maryland Day. 385 years ago, the first English, first European settlers came to Maryland. And basically all the languages combined into the lovely Baltimore accent you hear, and the Merlin accent you hear, every day you go through Maryland. So, you got that going for you. So, happy Maryland Day to you and yours. Hope you had a good one. I don't know what we should do. Like, what the deal is. Like, what kind of food? Do you just eat burger cookies all day? Because I got some in the freezer. I can unfreeze them and have a nice little bite for myself. Get some of that the Natty Bow. You Natty Bow? Anyway, remember, black square in the air. Want to stress that to the Black Bears. Next season, let's get that flag fixed. We don't want it upside down. That's a term of distress. We don't need distress in the locker room. Black square in the air. First quarter, boom, up there. Anyway, like I said, a review show. It's the Players Club. The Players Club. There's only one player in the NCAA still playing, and that's Jason O'Neill for Providence. They are the 14th seed in the NCAA. They will be playing in Providence, which weird. Very odd that the team is playing in their home arena, but whatever. They're still playing, and that's it. That's all the NCAA guys and gals that are still playing Jason O'Neill. Of course, we got some minor league players, too, and Adam Varga in the OHL is still playing in his, even though he's played two games, put nothing up. We'll get to those guys and gals later. Well, mostly just guys. All the ladies have finished up, and we'll start off with them right off the hop. Veronica Petty, Northeastern University, just finishing up her sophomore season, and she had a hell of a sophomore season. Let's be honest here. Fourth on the team in points with 34, third in goals with 18, and first on the team by a landslide in power play goals with 7 of them. 18, 16, 34 with 8 penalty minutes. She'll be going into her junior season next year, and she is just getting better as the season and as her career goes along. Big contribution into what the Northeastern women did with the Hockey East, the Women's Hockey East, winning the regular season championship, actually the playoff championship there. And although they were upset in the first round, the NCAA's Veronica just showed off her skills, her shooting ability, and just all around solid game, especially on with the extra attacker on. She was dynamic, and we can only assume she's going to get better in her junior and senior seasons. So Northeastern, they're a team to look at. They are a team on the rise, I think, both with their women's program and their men's program. So you can think that Veronica Petty has to be a catalyst for that, and obviously we'll be keeping a close eye on her after this season and going into next season. So congratulations to Veronica on her season. Trying to follow in the footsteps of Haley Skorupa, trying to be an Olympian. Perhaps. We'll see. Speaking of Skorupa, she had a decent season, I would say, for the Boston Pride. A short season for the NWHL. They obviously only play a certain amount of games, 16 to be exact. And Haley Skorupa played 13 of them. She had 6 goals on the season, 2 on the power play, 12 assists, 3 on the power play, 18 points and 6 penalty minutes on the season. She was first in her team in points and assists and tied for second in the league in assists and fourth in the league in points. However, they lost their playoff game of the Isabel Cup, and they were out in the first round there. But Skorupa coming off a big, big year the year before, of course, winning a gold medal kind of a big deal. You have to wonder how much of that confidence went onward and upward into her career moving forward, and what it's going to mean for her going into next season. And who knows what the landscape of professional women's hockey will look like at the end going into next season, or possibly the end of next season. Obviously, the debate rages on about if one league is better than two. To that end, where is it going to be? How is it going to be? Is the NHL going to be involved? A lot of questions there. And obviously, Skorupa being at the forefront of the women's hockey team, the U.S. women's national team, we will have to see how she goes about in her future career and her endeavors and what's going to happen there. So still young, still a lot to play, a lot playing time left if she wants to. And a big, big time this year for the Boston Pride. First in points, playing three less games than everyone else. So big, big year for Haley, and hopefully more to come next year, and hopefully a full season for her as well. Madison Ferrand had a quiet season, to say the least. Only three goals this season. Two on the power play, 4 assists, 7 points, 16 penalty minutes. But the big thing Ferrand did go in her junior season was that she increased her shot total. She only had 13 shots in her sophomore year, 17 shots in her freshman year. This year, 57 shots on goal. If you do the quick math from last year, that's an increase of 44 shots. Ferrand's not afraid to shoot the puck. It's just a matter of picking her spots. She's able to get the puck on net. Now it's just a matter of getting it to sneak through. And as she's going into her season at RIT, we will see if she's able to pluck off some goals going into next year, be a big, big boost for RIT if she's able to do so. But she is getting her game going, a late bloomer of sorts, you would have to say. And the shots on the goals are going to come if she keeps shooting like that. I mean, it's the old Ovechkin method. You fire 500 on net, 50 you're going to find the back of them. So we will see what she can bring to RIT in her senior season. I'm sure she has a lot to prove. I'm sure she has a lot still in the tank. And hopefully Ferrand can get those shots past the goaltenders there next season. And we'll see her a lot more on the scoreboard for the 2019-2020 season. Lizzie Wu of Newman College, Newman University now. She was a sophomore, so no game time at all. She was the fourth goaltender on the squad, but she is worth mentioning. She only played 1 minute last year, I believe, in her freshman year. So it's an increase, or was a decrease, actually. But we'll see how much Newman shakes out and how much she'll be involved for next season for her junior year, and if she'll get a nice little third string, maybe some more time there. Now we go to Sam Walther. Now Sam Walther is an interesting case. Now she had played for the Connecticut Whale of the NWHL, only played 5 games, all in relief. She gave up 2 goals, saved 4 shots. Obviously 0-0-0 is across the board for win, loss, and tie. Goals against average, not great, obviously, coming in on relief. 10.48 goals against, only 4 saves, 677 save percentage. The interesting thing is that she moved to coaching. She went to Nichols College to be an assistant coach for their D3 team and all of that fun stuff. She played in Hamilton College, the D3 equivalent there for the women's hockey. 26 career shutouts and a .948 save percentage. Second best totals in women's Division III history. So obviously she has a great pedigree. Didn't really get the time of day in Connecticut, and that's, you know, it's a cutthroat business. Only 5 teams in the NWHL. So, you know, if you don't get a steady string of playing time, it's going to happen. But she seemed to have found her niche as a coach for Nichols, and that's a huge thing for her. And she enjoys being around the game. And one of the more interesting parts about what she is doing is being a part of more of a solution-based situation. The Goalie Guild is a non-for-profit organization, and you can say one way or another what you think of their founder, Justin Goldman. I have no qualms with him, but I don't see his big deal and involvement, why people flock to him. That's another podcast, literally another podcast for another time. But the big thing that she that Walther has done has become an ambassador for the Lift the Mask program that the Goalie Guild has put on, and it's more of a is something for ending the stigma of mental illness, especially towards the goaltending community, because obviously goaltending, a lot of pressure there, a lot of anxiety, always on the clock, always something there in terms of anxiety and letting the team down, letting everything down, and your hopes going down. There's so little jobs, da-da-da-da-da. So the Lift the Mask initiative is a big one, and it's a smart one that they put together. And Walther, being an ambassador for that, she has stepped into the NWHL and the CWHL to kind of, you know, get a feel for what the goalies there are dealing with and try to help out any way they can. Almost sports psychology mixing real life and all that other fun stuff. So, and also with goaltenders being quote unquote quirky. Of that, it's something that they can also understand goalies, what they go through, being one of their own, not just being an outside sports psychologist, but for the Goalie Guild to do this and the Lift the Mask initiative, a huge deal and a very cool thing that Walther is taking up in her own little jurisdiction. Very awesome in general. Maybe we'll see her back out on the ice next season. Who's to say? She could be around the Worcester Blades where she was for practices at the end of this season. We'll see. We'll see how it goes for her. If it's just coaching, if it's just mental illness things and helping out there, that's one thing. And if she can get in net and get back to her All-American thing, the Gambrels native will be very much a big deal. So it's a huge, huge situation for her. And I'm glad that she is still in hockey, you know, regardless of how, you know, regardless of the role she's playing, whether it's on the ice or off the ice. Sometimes the off the ice method is a little bit better than on the ice. So we will obviously keep much tabs on Sam Walther going into next season. Moving on to the men's college games, and these guys, like I said, Jason O'Neill is the only one playing in the college game for any Marylanders. Patrick Giles, we'll start off with him. His freshman season, could have been better. Tied for 15th in points overall, only had a goal, 5 assists, 6 points for 14 penalty minutes overall. And obviously for Giles, going from the high school game to the U.S. development program to college in such a short span, a shock to the system. I almost think he would have been better served playing in the USHL for a year or two and then going into college as a 20-year-old. Obviously, the kid has the size, 6'2", 205, I believe he's listed as. But he's a big body, and you kind of have to figure the speed of the game is going to be different in college, especially in Hockey East, where it seems to be more speed-based than anything else. I would think that he would have been better served playing in the USHL, getting the speed of the game, speed of the junior tier one system, and what he's going to be playing against before just jumping right in from the development program. But that's why I'm not an advisor. I'm just a podcaster. Hopefully his sophomore season, he will adjust to the game a little bit more, know how the speed is, kind of click things off onto there. His teammate and brethren of the Maryland flag, Graham McPhee, 3 goals in the season for him, 2 on the power play, 6 assists, 9 points, 25 penalty minutes, was 11th. On the Golden Eagles in points, but he missed a little bit of the second part of the season due to a broken finger. Didn't keep him out too much, but it kind of limited what he could do shooting-wise, what he could do passing-wise. And I think overall kind of affected him down the stretch when BC needed him most. The big question is, what's he going to do? He's a draft property of the Edmonton Oilers, and they hold his draft rights until he leaves college, until August 15th, after he graduates college. They have his rights. There's no indication he's going to sign. There's no indication he's not going to sign. He is going into his senior season, so we shall see what happens if the Edmonton Oilers, that garbage fire that is, throws a deal at him he can't refuse, which, hey, you know, it is what it is. I can't blame kids for taking money leaving college. They got to look out for number one, especially in hockey when it could be fleeting and all you get is an entry-level deal. That's a decent amount of money for a kid to set himself up for future life. So is a degree, too. But with online colleges and schooling and stuff, you can get a degree However, and then afterwards too. So we'll see how Graham McPhee does. No indication he's going to sign, so he might be back for his senior season to help out BC. Sticking in Hockey East, everyone in Hockey East, it seems like, except for Rossberg. Jarrett Rossberg, Big Ten boy. But we'll stick in Hockey East with UMass Lowell's Colin O'Neill. Jason's brother did not make the tournament. Had 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points, 6 penalty minutes. Tied for 16th on the Riverhawks list of scoring. Going into his senior season, not many bites for him professionally. So obviously we'll be seeing him again for his senior season and see what's going to happen with him moving forward. Matt McArdle, he left Lake Superior State University as a graduate transfer, went to Merrimack, and not much to do, but he was a defenseman. And for Lake Superior State, all intents and purposes, only a goal, which was his only point in the season, 22 penalty minutes, but the most impressive stat, 33 blocks on the season for Merrimack, who wasn't that great this year. Weren't the upset thrillers that they usually have been in the years past. 20th in team points for McCardo, and he is done after his graduate transfer. We'll see if he is going to catch on somewhere else. And if he does, obviously, we'll stick to him here. Now, the big boy that we're talking about now, and a kid who I think really, really stepped his game up this season, and that's Jarrett Rossberg. He's a guy who I think really came into his own this year. He's, I believe, going into his, yes, he's a redshirt junior. So that means he's going into his... Yep, he's a redshirt junior, so he's going into his senior season coming up here. He had a big year. 4 goals with one on the power play, 12 assists, 16 points, 33 penalty minutes. Career high offensively for him in every single category. Six with the Michigan State Spartans in points, and that's not shabby in the Big Ten. The Big Ten, very rough and tumble division. So for him to be able to do that and get some offense going for his team, huge. Huge for them overall. 6'1", 200 pounds. He, I think, will be a target next year. He will be a target next year. Big body frame. A guy who can move the puck. A guy who's not afraid to shoot it. I think he's going to be someone that people look at next year. So we'll keep an eye on his progress and see what the lay of the land will be after his graduation and how many NHL teams will be after him, if any. Let's be honest. You know, I could just be speaking out my ass right now, and nobody gets him. So we will see what's going to happen with Rossberg next year and the rest of them, because that is your wrap. That's the wrap for the college players and for the people who have ended their season so far. Obviously, a couple more people to come, and we'll see how it goes. Now to the people who are still playing, and like I mentioned before, Jason O'Neill, when the Providence Friars, they are still in it. They will take on Minnesota State Mankato, who is the third overall seed in the NCAA tournament. They will be in Providence. They will play, I think it's Thursday, Friday, I want to say. Nope, I'm a liar. It's Friday, or it's Saturday, Sunday. So there you go. I will be personally at the Fargo Regionals. I will be covering that for the ScottyWaz.com and for Face Off Hockey Show. I get American International, St. Cloud, and Ohio State and Denver. I've seen Denver and St. Cloud State more than I need to care about. Wish we got Arizona State instead of Ohio State because I saw them a few years back when they were in Fargo. But whatever. Just me. So NCAA is there. Jason O'Neill will be in it. We'll keep track of him and kind of update next week. Could be doing a player profile on him after his season ends. Sam Annis still playing. 1 assist against Tucson on Tuesday. 1 assist against Stockton on Sunday. Streakiness, thy name is Sam Annis. And Jacob Caffrey, we didn't forget about you, boy. Only played in 1 game this weekend. A loss, 3 goals against, 15 saves as the Roanoke Rail Yard Dogs roll into playoff mode right now. We'll see if Caffrey can go ahead and be a stonewall, play spoiler a little bit, because the weird thing about the SPHL is they have that pick-your-poison playoffs where the first seed picks whatever seed they want to pick, and then the second seed picks of that remaining, the third seed, da-da-da-da-da. So we'll see what Caffrey can bring. See if he can bring home a Commissioner's Cup to Maryland. That'd be weird. That'd be weird to say, but hey, we'll take it here in Maryland hockey. Any kind of championship is any. We love the chips, as the kids like to say. I don't know what kids they are. That's it. That's all. We've done it. Obviously, season ending. The beginning and the end of the season, we kind of have a little bit of leeway here about what we're going to do. And what do you guys want to see? What do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to say? We'll see what we can do. Hit me up at ChesapeakeHWPod on the Twitter machine, and then you can give me your suggestions of what the hell you guys want to hear for the rest of the season. Also, you can see me there. A little bit of live tweeting there for the game. It's going to be interesting to do that while the NCAAs are going on. God willing, the Wi-Fi holds out. Last time in Fargo, it did not. Check out the Face-Off Hockey Show proper Wednesday nights. And then whenever you get your podcast, just subscribe to the podcast via Blog Talk Radio or via iTunes or via wherever you get your bloody podcast. And that way it updates automatically, kids. Yeah, you can get it, and it's going to be great. So that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Wallace. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week, part of the Face Off Hockey Show media faction, powered by Blog Talk Radio. Oh, spring is in the air and my allergies are killing me. Sore throats, hiccuping, all kinds of fun stuff. So you know what you're going to do? Get that Flonase, put it up there, get a little Natty Bow. Natty Bow help anything go down, make that medicine go down really good, and then go watch the rest of this Clutch and Crab hockey for the end of the season. Then we'll get ready for the regular crab hockey where we put them in a boiling pot. We'll see you guys next week.